Good day and welcome to the Business Success Network podcast. I'm Stacey Calder, founder of the Business Success Network and magazine, and we help you to grow you and grow your business. We want to get you as visible as possible online, offline, and through events such as networking, awards, and conferences. If you're sitting here and listening to this and thinking this is a great show, we are looking for guests to be part of it. We want to hear your story and we want to share your information with the public. We want you to be as visible as possible. So join us over at the Business Success Network UK on Facebook, join the community, get the support, become a cheerleader for other small businesses, and we'll see you very soon.
Small business owner with big dreams but feeling stuck in the daily grind, then it's time to become the superhero of your own success story with me, Sheena Wyatt at Kapow Coaching. I'm here to help you fight off the villains of time, stress and overwhelm, and together we'll cut through the chaos, bring clarity to your path and unlock your true potential. If you're ready to step into your superpower and lead your business victory, then let's connect and start your journey to greatness today.
And welcome to this episode of the BSN podcast for disabled entrepreneurs. I'm Jo O'Neill and I run Brightcap Business Solutions. I'm also the community leader for the Facebook group for disabled entrepreneurs. You can find us there. I will put links of everything and remind you about that later. But more importantly, today I am with Stephanie Marshall. Stephanie, welcome. And would you like to introduce yourself and tell everybody what you do?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Jo. So I'm Stephanie. I am an accountant and bookkeeper by trade and run multi-award-winning practice ABCS UK. I am also the podcast host and founder of the 3Bs podcast, Building Better Business in Just 15 Minutes Each Week. And I will let you know about the next exciting thing in a minute.
Fabulous. I'm keeping everybody in suspense. So you're an accountant and bookkeeper by trade. What does the 3B stand for? I have to know that one first.
Building Better Business.
Ah, I like that. Sorry, that just popped into my head. How long have you been doing your accountancy stuff and do you specialise in any area?
Yeah, so I have been a trained bookkeeping accountant since I was 18 years of age. So I'm 33 now, so 16 years, give or take, 14 years, long time. But the practice has been going for just over 3 years now. And specialising wise, we work very differently to everyone else in the industry, which I think is why we're so award winning, because we get to know clients on a one to one basis. And we're more than just the numbers. We're not just a compliance. We get to know you. You become a partner to us. And we do business strategy and whole business development, as well as the compliance and the financial side, because finance is just a cog in a much larger business wheel.
It is. And that sounds good to me. And actually getting to know people, also good. Because then you know what they're like and any problems they may face and what's coming up. So tell me about the other thing. Come on.
So I'm very excited that in January 2025, I'm releasing my first book called Finance for Life. It's a financial education book teaching teenagers from 16 to 18 financial education, but real world financial education. So it's split into chapters so they can pick it up and drop it off as and much they need it. There is sections on career, there's sections on finance, there's sections on starting a business, there's sections on rent versus mortgaging, understanding different electricity tariffs, all the things, budgeting, the things we weren't taught at school that would make us much better adults financially if we had that teaching at school.
It really should be taught at school. It's like one of the most important things, because everybody gets into so much debt, myself included, because we're not good with money. We're not taught to be good with money. And yeah, I think that's really important.
Absolutely. My children are 12 and almost 10. And my main drive for this is because I want them to have a better economy. If they can learn financial responsibility from teenage years, they're going to make better financial decisions, not get themselves into much debt. It's really common in children and people with neurodiversity to have those like spending cycles. and things like that. So it's so easy to not understand that when you take out a credit card or a loan, you've still got to pay that back on top of living. And it's those little things that if you're taught that from now, this book is aimed at 16 to 18 year olds. Actually, most of the adults I talk to are like, oh, I want a copy too.
I'm not surprised. Myself, it's like I had credit cards and things, and yeah, I go on basis. Well, yeah, I just want to spend, and I will because I've got that money there, or I've got so much money in my account, I get excited, I go shopping. And it's fine so long as you can keep paying that off. But as we know, especially in the economy we live in, all of a sudden that rug can be pulled from under you, and that is where the problems start.
Absolutely. And as an entrepreneur, it's a huge juggle anyway. Like, especially those first early years as an entrepreneur, you are literally putting hand to mouth the whole time. Yeah. It takes a good few years for your businesses to grow to a point where it's sustainable.
Yeah. And yeah, I think if people had more awareness around finances and what to do and what to look for, I think people would do so much better. Yeah, I wish I had that as a kid. I might be better with money. I'd still probably have the I need to spend. But that's just my brain.
The thing is you learn strategies around that. So in our household, we have a 48-hour basket rule. So if you want to purchase something that's more than, say, £50, it goes in the basket. And if it's still there in 2 days and you still really want it, then we purchase it. And if it goes out of stock in those 48 hours, then it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea.
I may it have takes to some real willpower, that. But it works eventually.
Yeah. I may have to implement that here. So my next question is the one we ask everybody on the BSN podcast, no matter which section you're on, and no one ever gives us the same answer. What does business success look like to you?
Absolutely. So we are really client focused. So that's my thing, is helping business owners to build the better businesses, whether it's financially or through the podcast. The mission is the same, is when they succeed, I succeed. So there's nothing more thrilling to me than seeing a client aim for 100K turnover and hit it. There's nothing more exciting than seeing the client pay off that huge VAT debt that they've been trying to pay off bit by bit for years, that they get to their next stage or they hit their next goal. And having a small part in that is success for me. On the other side of it, it's being a good role model to my children. I'm an April baby. So my son, for my birthday last year, said in the birthday card, happy birthday, mummy, and happy new tax year. Like, they know that's how things work. They're starting to learn that financial education early on, which was the driving force behind the book. But for them to grow with an entrepreneurial mind, my son's already got a YouTube channel. He's constantly coming up with business ideas. Raising them to stand on their own two feet safely and responsibly financially, but having that entrepreneurial spark, that's success for me.
I like that. I mean, they sound like they're going to be good kids and just going to fly with a good head on their shoulders as well.
This is it. I think any parent is, the children are the driving force for them. But yeah, success for me is seeing the little things that they are doing, and they're being responsible with their own money from now. And I know that as they get older, they're not going to get into the troubles that I did as a teenager.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to give you a clap. Well done, because that's amazing. Because I'm told it's hard raising children. I don't have any. My children are fluffy and assholes.
Yeah, I've got one of those too. But no, both my children are neurodiverse as well. So we have the additional putting things in place to make it as easy as possible for them. The fights with the schools that every parent of a neurodiverse child goes through. So I think we're doing okay so far.
It does sound like you are. Well done. So. This is where you are now. Well, let's look to the future. What are your future plans other than releasing this amazing book?
Absolutely. The book is my whole passion and focus. So for me, I want to grow the business. I have taken on my first employee. They come in part-time. I'm training them up to be a bookkeeper as well. So for me, building the practice and supporting more business owners and potentially pulling away slightly so that I can spend more time going to talking schools, going to teach at A-level time and go and inspire publicly that next generation. I also want to do a lot more public speaking to other business owners, because we do things so differently here. People can learn that accountancy is not boring, for example. I think a lot of people think accountants are men in suits that go to the golf course on a weekend. Now, I love a bit of golf, but I am professionally unprofessional is the way that we best describe what we are here at ABTS UK. We're professionally unprofessional. We're real people. And you can have that really great relationship with your bookkeeper or your accountant. So if you don't already have one, maybe you need to look for a different one, because you should have that amazing connection that I have with our clients.
Yeah. And I'd say always have an accountant if you're self-employed, because if you're anything like me and you don't do numbers and everything is scary, and even the self-assessment, which everybody could, oh, you can feel that in yourself. It's like, but what if I do it wrong?
Absolutely. And the thing is, you could do it yourself. Absolutely. However, I can guarantee you, if I took a look at it, I'd find an either an expense you haven't claimed that you could have done to reduce tax liability, or there would be errors, or the rules change all the time in business. We're currently waiting on the autumn statement to come out, because we all know things are going to change. My clients get a personalized email from me after every spring budget or autumn budget with a bit that's relevant to them. If they've got children and they change the childcare, then they need to know. If I've got clients that don't have children, they don't need to know about the child benefit, and we don't need to overwhelm them. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the first thing I did when I started business was I got an accountant, because I knew that was not my area, and I would recommend everybody do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got clients that I've got dyslexia and things like that, so I know numbers can get mixed up and confused for them. So we just make it, because we know our clients inside and out, and we know their businesses inside and out, we can really support them down to things like when they move, I help them change their address on their driving license.
Wow.
They struggle that I can see them struggling with that, and if I can take away that pressure, then that's what I'm going to do. I am their partner in business.
Fabulous. I like that. It's as I say, it is invaluable having somebody who cares as well about your business, and that you're not losing money and everything's going wrong, that they can go, hey, look at this.
And even when you are struggling, having that person that you can talk to who understands your business inside and out and go, yes, but look at this. Six months ago, we were here. Actually, we've reduced the debt by X amount, or we've increased turnover, or we've reduced expenses. There might not be more money coming in, but there's more left over because we've managed to reduce expenses. It's those little things that an accountant or a bookkeeper can provide to you, because a bookkeeper can do as much as an accountant 99% of the time, as long as they're trained to do so. Yeah. And people often get confused and think the bookkeeper sits in the corner and does the data entry, and it's definitely not like that.
No. I mean, I do know a little bit about it. My husband was going to train to be a bookkeeper and come join me. Instead, he ended up doing graphics because that's far more fun. He's now returned to the world of work. As I said, we had some money issues, and he's enjoying doing that. So it's all good. But yeah, so long as you do need to know those numbers. And if you've got someone who can actually explain things to you in real world terms, not just these nebulous ideas, or in words you understand, it does really help.
Yeah, I mean, I know I hear a lot of people say, I don't use any jargon. I do use jargon, but I make sure you fully understand it, because then when you next hear it on the news headline or read it in the newspaper, you're going to understand what that jargon means rather than just leaving you flying blind.
Yeah, that's a better way to do it. So please explain what you're talking about. I mean, I have to do, I work with a lot of tech, so I tend to have to do things like that and explain things in that way.
Attention, all business owners. Are you ready to elevate your marketing game? Meet Escape the Village, based in the heart of Wiltshire and with national coverage. With over 30 years of experience, Liz and her team specialise in crafting tailored marketing strategies just for you. From websites to SEO and content creation to social media management, we have everything you need to grow your business. Whether you're in rural, equine, or the agricultural sector, we understand your unique challenges and are here to support you. So why wait? Visit escapethevillage.com today and let us help you escape ordinary marketing.
Do you have any top tips for somebody that's going to be starting out in business? For now.
Absolutely. I think for starting out in business is just do the thing, is the thing I say the most, is just do the thing. Like, I understand the anxiety, I understand the apprehension, I am that person, but you really don't know what you're capable of until you try those things. And fail fast, do it and fail, because actually you learn more from failing than succeeding.
I'd agree with that. Okay, money-wise, what is the most important thing to keep on top of or keep in your head?
I guess for me, it depends on the type of business that you're running. So product-based and service-based are very different. If you're product-based, you're going to have a lot of overhead. So focusing on that bottom line of the net profit after all your expenses is really important, because if you look at just your top line coming in, people often forget to account for the fact that they've got to buy the stock, they've got to pay the shipping, they've got to ship out the product themselves, or actually manufacture the product if they're buying ingredients. That's definitely something that I see a lot of business owners fall down at and then get themselves into trouble. If you're service-based, it's keeping those expenses down, because it's very easy to buy all the subscriptions to all the technology, to all the things that you probably don't need. I do recommend at least once a month going through your bank statement and just looking and going, oh, but I'm paying for that software and that software, but actually this one can do that anyway.
Yeah.
And making the most of what you already have, because actually 90% of the software does what you need to do and you don't even realize, in my experience.
Is that like the fact that I think it's Microsoft 365 does all sorts of things that you don't know it does? I've had a tech person tell me that.
Yeah, I mean, we use Microsoft 365 for everything in both businesses. So we have our bookings and our calendars on there, so we don't pay for Calendly. We can set up all our virtual appointments through Teams, so we don't have to pay for StreamYard or Zoom or anything like that. It's all in one place. And actually, things don't go missing then either.
Yeah.
Because it's all together.
I do like it when things are all together. I can't tell. I like a good bit of organisation. It's not my house. Work-wise, yes. The house is chaos. So, some lovely top tips. Let's tell me more about you. How do you end up running your own business?
So I think, like a lot of people, it was COVID. It was the pandemic. So before that, I worked in industry for a company based in London. So it would be the commute to the office every day. We weren't in London, but they were. But it was still a commute. And I have got two children with special needs. So going into the office during COVID wasn't possible. And remote working wasn't working either for the business. They needed me in the office. So I just made the jump. I come from a motorsport background. I'm a huge petrol head, and I come and I've worked with quite a few of the racing teams as well. So both two wheels and four, I've been raised in motorsport my whole life. So I was really lucky in that when I went out on my own, I had a lot of sponsors and things that I knew in my network that already knew me, liked me, trusted me, knew that I was good for my word, and that I was honest and upfront. So the first batch of clients came really quite easily. The big stumbling block was growing past people you already knew. So unlike most people, I had this huge network of clients, and I love the fact I knew them inside and out. So then building that rapport with clients that you don't know beforehand definitely took a lot of adjustment. But we now have 25 clients in the practice who we all know inside and out. When I'm off sick, I get flowers. If I have to cancel a meeting because I'm off sick, they send flowers, or they send chocolates, or they know my children's birthdays. I know when they're having children. One of my clients had a grandchild the other week, and it's having that huge family feel.
Yeah.
But still getting those results and still having those boundaries. So we only work in the office 9:30 to 2:30. I do the school run either side of that. And that is the way the business has always run. And then in August, we don't do any client-facing work at all. So everything is still done compliance-wise, but there is no client-facing meeting. So things can be done remotely. And we can all spend time with our children, because I think that's really important, is to set those boundaries and keep to them, because it's so easy to let them slide. I'll just do this one late-night meeting.
Yeah, I've done that before and regretted it usually.
Yeah, it usually is the way. When you hold firm on your boundaries, yes, people have to wait a little while to talk to you, but actually it's worth it, because if they're a good fit for you, they will wait for you because they know that you're the one that's going to help them.
Yeah. But yeah, I probably endorse people like when COVID hit, just going, no, I need to change. I'd done it just before COVID. Mm-hmm. And I was just getting somewhere before then COVID happened and everything went a bit wrong for a while. But it's okay. By the time I needed to be making money, I was. I had a deadline. But yeah, I had another question. Sorry, my brain is a little bit dead today.
It's all the podcast recordings we're all doing today. It's all a little bit full on today for us, isn't it? But the other thing I will say quickly is it's okay to change. I see so many entrepreneurs that are so scared to pivot their business. Oh, no, I can't change and expand into that market. No, I can't remove that service from, because that so-and-so is paying for it. It's like, it's okay to change. Now, I'm not saying change every week, but actually it is okay to pivot and change the direction of your business. ABCS UK started out as an hourly billing practice. That's not sustainable when you only do so many hours in the office. Yep. Wasn't going to put a mortgage over our heads. So we had to adopt it was a bespoke pricing model based on transactional and value and volume, the amount of work we physically had to do, and it was a set monthly retainer. And now we've had to move to set price points because the time we were taking on those monthly retainers and the constant software increase in prices meant that we were constantly losing out and constantly having to find time to reprice clients. So now we have like a one size, like a subscription, you have the lower, the mid and the higher tier. But it's okay to change. And if that doesn't work, it's okay to go back to that bespoke pricing.
Yeah. I'm a big advocate of if you find something that's like fun and exciting, you love doing, do that. I mean, I started out doing basic admin. These days I do marketing because it's what I've learned as I've gone on business and it's what my clients need. And it's much more fun.
Do what you love and the money comes later sometimes. So like the podcast for me, and it's probably the same for you, we're not sponsored. It's not here to make money. It's here to help business owners. It's here to help entrepreneurs.
Ours is sponsored. Well, this one. Actually, no, this one is. This one has two sponsors. My other podcast is sponsored when we have ads, but that's purely to pay for production.
Yeah.
And, when we do season 3 of Three Spoonies, it'll be to pay for someone to read our ads because we're bad at it.
This is it. What you're good at, do what you're good at. And if there's bits you're not good at, for me, it's marketing. Like marketing is not my strength because my brain is always in a million different places.
Yeah.
Sitting down to actually do the content and publish it is not my forte. So that is what I outsourced. The admin, sitting and taking pictures of receipts and putting them onto software, I used to love it, but it's no longer my forte because I know my time can be better spent helping businesses in more of a one-to-one setting. So that got outsourced out.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Even if it's something you love, if your time is better used elsewhere, I would absolutely say outsource it. It is sometimes difficult to let go, but it is important if your business is getting to the point where you do not have enough hours in the day. And as disabled entrepreneurs, you've got less hours than most.
And especially with the unpredictability, if there's something that you need to do consistently that you can't guarantee that you're going to be well enough to do so, or that things aren't going to get in the way. And it might not be you that's disabled. It could be that you're I'm caring for special care. I can go and pick the children up at any point.
Yeah.
And I need to make sure that those bits that have to be consistently done on a specific day are outsourced to somebody who can guarantee that it is done, especially for like compliance for like VAT returns and payrolls and things. Like the deadlines are so set.
Yeah,
there's no room for movement.
Yeah, absolutely. Outsourcing is big and clever and will free up your time, even if that time is spent picking up your children, doing a bit of housework, laying in bed going, oh dear God, why?
You know
things are valid.
Absolutely. And people don't often talk about these things. It's so refreshing to hear someone talk so openly and honestly about it is okay. And some days you do struggle. There's many a Saturday morning where I am done. After a full week, I am done and I need a couple of hours to myself in bed, not moving, before I can get up and go again.
Yeah, I mean, it takes me a good hour these days on a morning to get up because I have muscle tremors and I'm not quite with it enough to move. So it takes me a while to move. And like, as I was saying to you earlier, yesterday, I had a bad fatigue day. So most of my work didn't get done. I got up earlier to date and did it. It will get done. It just may not get done in my original time frame, and that's okay, so long as the client's not waiting. So I like to keep ahead of myself on everything.
Yeah, I think it's really important to give yourself space and not be too hard on yourself. I think we're all our biggest critics sometimes, and actually I do think you need to go, okay, no, I can't do it today. Today's not going to happen. I sent my boy to A&E a couple of weeks ago and another boy hurt him at school and split his head open. Like my entire day got written off because
I spent the
afternoon in A&E, and do you know what? My children come first.
Yeah, absolutely.
My clients know that and my clients are aware of that. And my clients are the same with their children and I encourage them to do so.
Yep. When having a bad flare, I've emailed my clients and said, like, it's going to be a couple of days before I can manage anything. And they will tell me off of even emailing them and just tell me to go rest and get well. Yeah. During the year, my mother had a first cataract done and I didn't know how it was going to go. And so I said, all right, I'm taking this week off. I hadn't intended to, but sort of once I got there, I'm taking this week off. Mm-hmm. And they were fine with it. And so long as they have more compassion for me than I do. But even to the point of last week, my husband said he's taking over doing the laundry. because I'm getting worse and therefore I can spend more time working, making money, because I cover the bills, he covers everything else. Mm-hmm. And therefore I don't have to worry about it. And it's like, and I was thinking about it a few days later, and it's like, I feel so seen, especially after it, because it took him a long time to understand, because it's an invisible illness. And we've had conversations about fatigue scales and pain scales and giving him examples and where are you at on this scale. So it's like the penny's dropped, he gets it. And yeah, and it's like, I'm going to take over doing this. Okay.
And that's wonderful. And if you're maybe on your own as an entrepreneur, especially if you've got a partner who's still working, like in employed roles, they don't always fully understand. So I would definitely say go and find your people. Like pick up the LinkedIn, WhatsApp, however you want to get hold of people in your network, in your circle, that just get you. Entrepreneurs are a very different breed to others, I believe. I think we are definitely more driven. And sometimes we push ourselves too hard because we're so desperate to succeed, because it's our baby, it's our thing. But it is okay to step back, most definitely.
It is. And if you find the people around you that will not only help you succeed, they will tell you off for doing too much. And I can't espouse the wonders of co-working enough.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And when you get the person that just gets it, they just get it. My fiance, I was awarded fellowship this week to my professional body, the ICB, which is 8 years of hard work, a lot of exams, and
well done.
Something that I've worked really hard for and I'm really proud of. And the next day I had flowers and a card delivered to the house. Those little things make all the difference. And I've got one of my friends runs an accountancy podcast and they'd reached 100 episodes. So I sent them a little plaque.
Oh,
recognition for 100 episodes. That's a big thing.
That is a big thing.
Well, like, that's wonderful. Like, I feel really touched. But those little things, because I've built those entrepreneurs in my network, and we all care about each other. We all want everybody else to win and succeed. There's no competition. It's collaboration 100% of the time.
It absolutely is. And as my coach would say, always celebrate the wins, no matter how small.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's just making the bed in the morning.
Yeah. Sometimes that is the win, and that's what you manage today. It's like within the disabled community, it's like, you got up today, you had a shower, you did the thing. No matter what you've done, celebrate it.
Absolutely. And people forget to do that so much, and especially entrepreneurs, because
they're always looking to the next thing. What else needs doing? What am I doing now? Just take a moment, breathe, and just be proud of yourself.
Or if you struggle with that compliment, find someone else that will celebrate you instead.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for joining me today, Stephanie. Where can people find you?
So LinkedIn is my social media platform of choice. I am a LinkedIn girly, but I am on all social medias. So I will pop the link in the show notes. We're on Instagram, X now, isn't it? I still call it Twitter.
No, it's still called Facebook, Twitter.
Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, email. The podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. It's also on YouTube. The links to that are on there. And if you're interested in the book, there is a waitlist open for pre-order, and there'll be some special bonuses before that is released at the end of January next year.
Ooh. So yeah, get in there. I'll have everything in the show notes for you. Go check Stephanie out. Thank you for joining me again. And obviously, if you're not in the Facebook group for disabled entrepreneurs, you can find us just by typing in Business Success Network for Disabled Entrepreneurs. You can find out what's going on generally in the network on the website, which is just look for the Business Success Network, and you will find out all the stuff that's going on, including the conference next year in February, which I will be attending. I may even try and get my spoonies along with me. So thank you again, Stephanie. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And I'll see you all again in 2 weeks' time for the next episode.
So you've been listening to the Business Success Network podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Please do go and check out all the other episodes that we offer. We've got a great range of guests that have gone before us and that are coming up. And if you want to get involved in the Business Success Network, you can find us at www.businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. There's loads of ways you can get involved, whether that's from contributing to our business magazine, or whether that's getting involved in the podcast. We are here to showcase your expertise and help you to grow you and grow your business.